Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This morning's talk is going to be about the last words of Jesus. Words that he spoke between 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. on a Friday, day before Sabbath. Here's seven sayings of Jesus on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise. Boy, it'd be nice to hear those words, wouldn't it? Woman, here's your son. Here's your mother. At about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And Mark says, at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? I'm thirsty. I am. It's finished. Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. Powerful words. Sad words. Encouraging words. This morning I'm just going to talk about my God, why have you forsaken me? Our Wednesday night class is in the last days of Jesus. And last Wednesday night, we covered this material. And I mentioned that's what I'm going to talk about. What did Jesus mean when he spoke this question? God, why have you forsaken me? There's at least three, if not more, possibilities what he's saying here. Is he saying that the Father actually abandoned Jesus? Is he just saying that he believes that moment, the way he's feeling on the cross, that the Father has abandoned him? Or is he quoting verse 1 of Psalm 22 for a particular reason? Those who are there are hearing him quote verse 1, Psalm 22. Over the years, when I thought about this situation, I've probably been in Camp 1, Camp 2, but most recently, I've been in Camp 3. And fortunately for us, in the book, the authors Bob and Sandra Waldron have written an excellent answer that they believe is correct in an appendix. And it's several pages, and good arguments are given about what he means by using Psalm 22, verse 3. And so I thought I'd maybe just hit a few of the highlights of that. And everybody has this. I've sent it to them in a PDF file. You can read it there. You can borrow a book from somebody. But it takes more than a few minutes to cover all the material. All right, at this very moment, Jesus certainly is bearing the sins of the world. There's no doubt about that. He's taking our place for the punishment that we deserve. Paul said the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. So, you know, we've earned it. Our sins have earned death as a consequence of sin. he's being charged for being guilty of our sins, and he's suffering for those sins. Extreme suffering. God's full measure of wrath against sin being poured out on his beloved Son, Jesus. Did God take our sins and put them on Jesus? Well, there's certainly scriptures that sound like that's what's going on there. 2 Corinthians 5:20-21 read, "Therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Peter writes, "He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. And when he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we've been healed." But there's an alternate explanation of these scriptures. Jesus is being treated like a sinner. He's suffering the punishments of our sins, as had been prophesied by Isaiah. Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. Just a few verses. "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. With the wounds we are healed. And we like sheep have gone astray. We turn everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So this is describing what's happening as Jesus is on the cross. But Jesus clearly said, no one has taken his life from him. Jesus was always in control throughout this entire process. It had been prophesied that it was going to happen, and it's happening. John 10:17-18 reads, "I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep. And I have other sheep that are not like this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. I lay down my life that I might take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up. This charge I have received from the Father." Jesus and the Father are one. He came to do the will of the Father. It had been revealed. In fact, this plan was conceived in the mind of God before the creation of the world. Amen. Psalm 22 is clearly a Messianic psalm. Jesus quotes verses 1, probably with a weak voice, like my voice is getting to be weak, because one of the scriptures reads that he's asking for Elijah. You know, Eli. And so they think, oh, he's asking for Elijah. After that, he asks for a drink. And then he can say the last few things very, very clearly. "It is finished. Into the hands of him I commit my soul." And so really, God, Jesus is fulfilling the plan that was conceived before the foundation of the world. And I read two scriptures to you. 1 Peter chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 1, those verses. So let's see what Peter wrote. Peter wrote, knowing that you were ransomed for the futile ways inherited from your forefathers. Somebody else is going to pay the price, get you out of trouble. Not with perishable things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for the sake of you. Remember what John said? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. Old Testament sacrifices were lambs. Lambs without blemish. Innocent. And they were put on the sacrificial altar because somebody had sinned. But they were perfect, pure, spotless lambs. Jesus is going through this same thing. He's the Lamb of God. And he's suffering. But he is sinless. He's perfect. He is the sacrifice that we need to have our sins removed. Ephesians 4 reads the same thing. And the point is, this is a plan that God conceived before the foundation of the world. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. The psalm that David is quoting, written 1,000 years ago, before that Jesus is quoting, David wrote it around 900 BC, and it applies to what is happening. This is the meat of the lesson. Is that why? What does Jesus mean when he's saying this? Okay, and we say, okay, well, let's look at it. There's a whole bunch of verses in Psalm 22, and they all fit what's taking place right now. So that the people standing there saying, oh, what's going on? He's obviously guilty of something bad. They're torturing him. They're crucifying him. Look at how he's suffering. And yet Jesus is in control. And he says this, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's quoted in both Matthew's account and Mark's account. Whereas all the other sayings of Jesus are just in one of the Gospels. So, verse 7 of the psalm says, they hurl insults, shaking their heads. Verse 8 says, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. And that's quoted in Matthew. Verse 16 and 17 of the psalm says, they pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. It's quoted in John. Verse 18, they divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my garment. It's quoted in Mark, Matthew, Luke, and John. And in Hebrews, I will declare your name to my people in the assembly. I will praise you. What Jesus is trying to bring to their attention is this happening just like it was planned. This is not a failure of my mission to come and save mankind. So let's make just a few conclusions before we observe the supper. He quotes Psalm 22 verse 1 to remind the witnesses at the cross what's happening during his crucifixion had been prophesied. God made him to be sin, who knew no sin, 1 Corinthians 7:21, means that Jesus, although sinless, was being treated as if he were a sinner. He was regarded as guilty of sin. He was a substitute for us and the recipient of God's judgment against sin. All the animals that were sacrificed in the Old Testament were substituted in place of the person who sinned. And Jesus is doing it, the Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God. His sacrifice on the cross now allows those who believe in Jesus to be redeemed. The debt's been paid, and we're saved from the wrath of God that we deserve. We will now remember the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus, our Redeemer and King, as we partake of the Immortal Supper.
Amen.